Young.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
How's your morale?
Well, my morale is good.
Yeah.
Fine.
You home or?
I just got home, yes, sir.
Yeah. My God, you're working late. Yeah.
A lot to do. We keep working away each day to get the most we can out of our firearm story. And that's
the thing to do. Just,
well, I'm not
just
happy yet that we're getting what we want, but we're.
Well, it's going to take a little time, and you know, it must be discouraging to some of your fellows. You know, they sort of expected people to, particularly even some of our critics, to come along, you know, even grudgingly. But they won't, because this is what they didn't want.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. They're really dying, but that's all right. The country feels pretty good about it.
Well, the country feels great. I get nothing but strong emotional feeling from people I talk to across the country. You, of course, that was your speech. And everything that we've had to get since then, we've been clawing for. Although, I was a little bit down this weekend that we weren't getting enough editorials, but then I got another batch today. And they're
beginning to come in, are they?
Yeah, they're beginning to come in from around the country. You know, you get them from Dallas and Tulsa and Birmingham, and and they're very different when the ones we read from the
New York
or from the big papers that quickly come in.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're picking up now. We're getting better play on that. We're getting some of our columnists are shaking loose. I think they were all. I think we took them all by shock last week. I don't think that.
Could be.
You know, even the fellows that we normally get. And our television will begin now to have some impact. We're getting additional people on. Conley's going to do the Today Show this week.
Uh huh.
I've talked to John. He's very upbeat. I'm talking about you personally and the courage and the withstanding the pressures and the critics.
When did you talk to him?
I talked to him yesterday. Talked to him again today. He's going to see you tomorrow.
Is he in town?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I thought he was in Algeria. No, he's
no. John,
he's back.
He's doing the Today Show Thursday. He's coming in.
Good.
See you tomorrow afternoon. I think he's about ready to make his move, also, Mr. President. Which.
Well.
He asked me if I thought he should do it on the Today Show this week, and I said, well, I
wouldn't waste it there. Well, it's his way, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
he likes to do it.
Drop it out.
Huh?
It's his way to kind of drop it out. There was an unfortunate story in the Star tonight about, you saw it on the front page, about your backing Conley, and there's a recent visit of the White House. Quote you as said something positive about Conley. And it's Alyssa Gorb. It's a Chicago Daily News story. I don't have the. So I hope that doesn't. John is such a delicate commodity to deal with. God, I've had him two or three times, right?
Of course, nobody has been in. I don't know who the hell they're talking about. But
no, I don't either.
Probably just make it up, you know. That Alyssa Gorb would, you know. He's just trying to stir things up.
Well, the Washington Press Corps is in a state of. Right now.
Is it really?
Oh, boy. I did that little op-ed piece for the New York Times.
Yeah, I thought that was, I thought you really stuck it to him.
Well, gee, Ziegler had about minutes in his briefing of putting him down, and I must say Ron did an absolutely spectacular job. He said, you know, I've been telling you fellows there wasn't any split between the two, and you keep printing it, and so, you know, Colson makes, you're absolutely right, but boy, have they been calling this afternoon at my office.
Really?
Yes, sir. And offering interviews, and of course I don't talk to them. Saidi called and said he wanted to do it.
Never see him.
No, but he said he wanted to, because time backed out, as you know, and my libel problem.
That's right. But never, time has had it now, in my opinion. After they inaugural week, they ran that pornographic Brando thing.
Oh, isn't that, yeah.
That finished. I mean, believe me, not Saidi, not Schechter, nobody from Time, they're finished.
Well, we've shaken them up, though. I must say that the thing last week really did have an impact on them, because they turned off a Watergate story that they were going with this week.
Sorry, just let them worry.
The lawyers say that they're now reviewing everything that's said about us. Saidi's call to me was to tell me that if I wanted to do a U.S. News type, News and World Report type interview, they'd print the whole thing without editing.
Don't do it.
No, but it's...
Right. I agree.
But it shows that they really, you know, they're really.
See, Saidi is in real trouble now because he's broken his pick. I've issued orders that nobody's to see him for the 4 years, and I'll let him cover the presidency without seeing anybody in the White House, he's going to have one hell of a time, isn't he?
Well, it's obviously having its impact on him. He was crawling, and
right.
to make this kind of an offer, they've never done that. They're all. I think they know if we can just keep the pressure on and keep exploiting it and keep having our people talk about it and use Conley and use Brennan and I've talked to Elliot Richardson. He'll be good.
Sure he will.
Get the right TV opportunity for him.
Sure he will.
We've had a good reaction out around the country. I must say the clippings that our friends have been sending in, like Sonny Metz in Connecticut sent in one today, big headlines where he's in the Hartford papers where he used you and your courage and then took off on the George McGovern's and Jane Fonda's and just kicked the hell out of them. We are getting it out around.
That's good. Well, I think probably more is getting out than we see. We sit here and we just read the news summary and the Post and the Times and look at a couple of networks, and it's not very encouraging, but on the other hand, you don't get discouraged about it. You just keep plugging away because realize that the whole establishment, its whole reputation, it's everything it stood for is out there. If this comes off, everything they have stood for proves to be wrong, and they therefore have to constantly do everything they can to destroy it.
Oh, they're really dying, Mr. President, because if that's right.
They are. Well, they may be dying, but they're fighting hard.
Oh, sure.
Fighting like tigers.
Well, they're not going to rule.
And our people, of course, have got to not be naive and not go caving, and sucking around or pandering to them. That's the thing.
Oh, that's
right.
To me, that's the most critical thing of all. If we keep the pressure on, the things that have started really since the election, with the way in which we've treated the Post, and the fact they've had some challenges, the time access repeal, which you've approved our going forward with, now rocks the hell out of the networks and helps the movie people. Freezing out time. I mean, we frozen them out for a week and threatened a libel suit, and my God, they're falling on their hands and knees. Each one of these things has its impact, but I think now if we just hang tough and continue to do each one of these things, to our friends and just ignore the bastards that have been so wrong.
Of course, it's interesting, as pointed out, that both, Henry spent an hour with the Newsweek people. He got nothing out of it, of course, which I just let him do it because he was aching to do to Schechter, and I wouldn't let him do it. I said, all right, do Newsweek. He's wanted to do, naturally, as that other fellow over there, the Jewish fellow. And so he's getting a little message. He never learns so permanently.
No, Henry doesn't.
When is Scally going to get confirmed, or is he?
Well, he had his hearings, of course, and I would think by the end of this week, Mr. President.
I think that the main thing with him is not for him to go on publicly at this point. I don't want to hurt his... But boy, he can really background the hell out of people, and he should.
Well, he's been doing some of this.
Has he already? Good.
Yes, not as much as I would like, frankly, because...
he's been busy with his hearings.
Well, he had to bone up for his hearings yesterday anyway.
And also, he can't get caught doing it because some one of those bastards would be after him.
Well, he's done some. He's been helpful with some of the people that he has the best relationships with. I know he's told me he's talked extensively with Hensley, whose stuff is good when it moves, although he doesn't write as much as I would like. He did not fool with the magazine people last week.
The magazine people, they pretty hard for time to do a whole piece on the ceasefire, as Goldman says, without giving any notice to the president.
Well,
isn't that something?
Our big weapon, Mr. President, is, well, it's two things. It's editorials, because that sets people's, that's the opinion to a degree.
Right.
But the other thing is television.
That's right.
Your church service Sunday night was absolutely one of the best things I think I've ever seen on television. That was just utterly spectacular. And I don't know that Bob agrees with me. We talked about this today. I think that next to your speech has to rank as one of the most emotional things that I, I can't think of anything that would have more impact on people. That had one hell of an audience, considering the time on a Saturday night. In New York, it had CBS had a 12.4 rating, but they figure about 20 million people saw that church service, and that was like, that Huffman was just excellent, and the picture...
He sure was.
He was really superb, and a lot of feeling in it, and seeing you and Mrs. Nixon and Julie sitting there praying, it had a marvelous tone to it. It was just spectacular.
And also, I think that networks are dying with it, I guess, and the commentators at the last... devil that died turns out to have a wife and five kids that are all standing up.
Real patriots.
That was great. You know, they could have found a real meal there, but they didn't.
And she apparently on television. I did not see it last night, but the people who saw it just said it was a heartrending performance. I mean, she talked about it's worthwhile if there's a lesson in it to stand up for the country. I mean, I must say the prisoners was. Mrs. Nolde last night, and father of the first boy that was killed in Vietnam, has been on. That stuff has had a huge impact. I think that gets through. I don't think even the...
Some of this may get through more than the little flip-flops that poor Henry gets into and all the rest.
Yeah, I think it gets through a hell of a lot more than those. Of course, it was kind of amusing today the way the reporters tore into Ziegler on... of my op-ed piece, about five pages in Ziegler's transcript that I'm reading through, but the thing that they were really incensed about, one of them said, well, are you going to try to find the source of who put out the original story that there was a rift between the president and Kissinger? And,
my God.
Well, the fellow who's asking the question is someone that I think...
knows.
Henry was feeding a little bit of this stuff to, right?
Henry was feeding it?
Oh, yeah. Talking to Reston and Kraft and those guys.
Oh.
See, what I did was to say that was completely a fabrication of the media. Well, a couple of guys in the media don't think it was fabricated.
I see.
And I got a little report tonight, which I gave to Ziegler, that we both decided we should not tell it to Henry, that Reston is so mad over it in the Times this morning that he's thinking of blowing the whistle on Henry. We don't want to tell Henry because
he is thinking of blowing the whistle?
Yes, sir. Kraft are just furious that...
You mentioned Kraft in your piece, too, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Bob said you mentioned, and you took both Reston and Kraft on, I hope, because
I took
those...
Reston, Kraft, Braden, Osborne.
Right. The whole goddamn
world.
With all
their quotes, just took...
Yeah.
Well, here's what they said.
But Reston,
and Reston...
It might be salutary if he did.
Well,
I don't want to... I mean, mainly because it'll make Henry so damn mad.
Well,
and also, it will maybe teach him a lesson, huh? I don't want any of us to do it, but if Henry could just learn that talking to the Rustins and the Crafts is dangerous, then he would quit doing it.
Well, you see, what the piece that I wrote said was that this was something that was completely cocktail social gossip. It made it hard news at a time when it could only undermine the president's negotiations. One of these guys got that from Henry, then he's going to take kindly to my cutting him and accusing him of manufacturing it.
I suppose the way that Reston will handle it will say, well, he knows from the best of sources, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but I don't know. I don't mean anything.
No. I mean, this is strictly, the whole purpose of this exercise, frankly, is to shake the,
yes, sir.
The press establishment so that they know that when they... We're just saying you got out on a limb, boys, and we sorted it off. That's all.
You say that you get it from a fairly good source that Reston really is...
7 o'clock tonight, I got a call saying, Jesus, you better warn Henry, and this was from a good source within the NSC staff, who's one of our loyalists, who said, Henry's about to get the whistle blown, but Kraft and Reston are just madder than hornets that they're being accused of manufacturing this because they say they've got a... Their source is firsthand. But we don't want him to do that quite yet. Henry's got to do some television, and we got to get him
Well, he's got to do television. He's got a very important trip, and you know all that sort of thing.
Well, we got to get him in the right frame of mind.
That's right. But you know, that may be one of the things that's bothering him a little. He knows damn well what we went through in December and early January. I mean, easily tell, couldn't you?
Oh, sure. I mean, we went through that.
Remember your long conversations on the phone.
That agonizing weekend, and then he called Kraft the next day. So I mean, that's
on the second. Yeah.
Right, on the second. And then Kraft, of course, wrote that story on the 4th, which said that Kissinger had been compromised. But I'm sure Kraft thinks he got it directly from Kissinger. So, but that's all right. If this little exercise, I didn't do it with this purpose in mind, but it may tend to keep Henry a little bit honest, especially if those fellows have called him to scream a little, as I suspect they have.
Called him, huh?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But slugging him. We have been getting some of the attack stuff.
Sure, I know.
Not enough.
I know it's hard, and no hell, I know everybody's trying, but I think part of the reason is, Chuck, is that you can't get it across at this point. Is that first, I think there's shock among our own troops.
Yes.
I mean, many of them got out in the wrong limb of the bombing thing. Second, there is utter consternation and just a furious frustration among the libs. Good God, they don't know what the hell to do with this.
They're wild. Well,
do you sense it? Does Scally finally see this, or will he admit it? Not really.
Well, I haven't really put it to John quite that way. We haven't really discussed it in those terms. Clausen sees it, of course.
What's Clausen say? Does he agree with this?
Oh, yes. He said, God, you know, we've shattered them. And there isn't any question that they have been very badly hurt. And, of course, this is not a 1 week or a 1 day or a 1 month story. I mean, this is like China and Russia and other things that have lasted over a long period. I mean, people still talk about May 8th and
sure they do.
Still talk about the China trip and the Moscow summit. And this is the ending of the Vietnam War, the same thing.
It's going to last longer than either of those.
It will. And that's why if we do it right, if we use Herman Kahn and Sir Robert Thompson and Henry Cabot Lodge, who had a marvelous interview with the New York Times today. Great interview.
Did it appear?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Good.
And he's also doing an op-ed piece, which we cleared tonight and texted up to the Times.
To see if David Bruce would do something.
I asked
Henry.
No, I asked Broody today to be in touch with him on the
Henry's the only guy that can talk to him, not Broody. Broody doesn't know him that well, you know.
All right.
Bruce Well, and whether Bruce will step up to that, I don't know.
I've forgotten what it was.
He's an old establishmentarian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Joe Fowler. We've had a few that, a lot of them have put out statements. They haven't gotten all that much play. There's been such an enormous onrush of news, you know, with the Johnson death, with all of the, you know, the great reporting of the ceasefire and the prisoner issue. There's been a hell of a lot of reporting of hard news, and then the budget this weekend. There's been a rush of it, so it's hard to get the interpretive stuff out. Although I think we can now do more of this. I think we can do more with television, frankly. I know you had reservations about using Al Haig, although I think at some point we ought to.
Yeah, I'd use him. After Henry leaves, you know, so that Henry doesn't get up the wall.
Stage, right?
The hell knows so much, and he's so damn good.
Well, and he talks about you.
I think he will, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be very interesting.
No, Al Haig will talk about you. Connolly will talk about you, and he's to do that.
Well, Connolly must feel pretty good about this, doesn't he? You know, he had some doubts about the. Not about the bombing, but about not explaining it. But he now sees why, doesn't he?
Yes. Yeah, I think Conley's dabber is up right now. He surprised me yesterday. You know, I spent 2 hours with him the day before the inauguration. And I had him up, ready to switch, and then off again, and then ready to switch, as only Conley can do in a two-hour period. He's on and off. But yesterday, I was talking to him about going on the Thursday. courage and wisdom. He said, oh, yeah, I'll do all that. He said, maybe I should, on the same program, announce that I'm switching out of the blue. And so he may, and then he said he wanted to talk to you, so I suspect that's what he wants to.
He may, we'll see.
He may,
I won't press him, I'll just see what he wants to do.
Well, I think he's, I think he's looking for the, he may be looking once more for the invitation. He sort of beat around that bush with me on an inaugural weekend, you know. He said, I want to really be sure that people are serious, that they really want me to do this. John's a shrewd, he's an illustrator, you know, he's...
He sure is.
Boy, he said to me, I just want to, he said, I've heard all these nice things that you and others around here have been saying to me, Chuck. He said, I want to be sure you mean it. So he's, but he's ready to, he's ready to come across. Whether he does it this week or next, or he'll, of course, choose the forum.
You can, a lot of fun with these people, and
we're going to keep slugging them, Mr. President. I think we got a few of our people.
I think you do have to keep slugging them, I'm afraid.
And, you have to single them out. I mean, I think, and you have to be right when you do it, and we can take them a piece at a time. Pete Brennan, he wants to take a crack at a few of the not, you know, he's got to be a little careful now.
Yeah.
Senators as such, but he'll go after them.
No, no, no. He shouldn't stay off the Senate. He should hit the establishment.
Yeah, well, that's what...
He loves that anyway.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
The elitist.
The elitist, yeah.
That's right.
He talks about the
intellectual snobs.
Yeah, no, and he's great. He's going to... We've got him confirmed tomorrow afternoon, so he'll be unleashed, so to speak. And Pete handles himself superbly well. I think it's a... As I today, it's a picking away operation, and it's getting our people.
And also, it's a long term. You don't want to let it slip, because you just got to keep quack. Because the other side, they must be sitting in their caves now, trying to think of some way to take us on. Right.
Did you hear about the rest in peace on Saturday? Utterly
I saw it.
Well, he,
oh, where he said, don't talk about peace with honor?
No, he wrote a piece about it's foggy and in Washington and nobody's here.
Yeah, that's right.
It was Sunday. And,
I know. I heard about that.
No celebrating last night in Washington. He filed that piece on Saturday afternoon. He said, Georgetown is quiet. No parties tonight. No parties last night. Filed it before, naturally, had the 5 o'clock deadline. He just wrote that. That was that. When I read that, I knew that we had these bastards, because that was the utter.
You think so?
Oh, sure. That was the utter gasp of total despair on the part of Reston. You know, there were no parties last night in Georgetown celebrating the peace. Of course, they weren't even damn story before Saturday night. He'd already decided. I mean, that was his mood, and he was just writing the way he felt. No,
as I said, he's looking in the mirror rather than looking out the window.
Exactly. Yeah. Way to put it. No, we just keep hitting them day in, day out, pick our targets carefully.
But the one thing, you know, Henry was on also Bob on, I guess, Sunday or Monday, I guess it was, that he was on it first, and then told me that he turned it on, he'd hit me on it, that Reston had wanted him to do a for the Times. I says, Henry, are you out of your mind? I said, don't even ask me. I said, of course you're going to do a QA. And he said, well, Gertzman, I could do it with him. I said, Gertzman isn't worth a damn.
No.
You ever read what he's been writing?
Yeah.
You know, what's the fascination Henry's got with that crowd, Chuck?
Well,
what do you think?
He comes from it, Mr. President. You know, he's part,
I know.
Of, the,
I
he's
know.
Part of the Harvard.
He just can't stand being away from them. I think that's it.
Well, he can't stand having their scorn. In other words, he wants
right.
to be...
Loved,
and wants to be part of them, and he wants to. He doesn't realize that.
Doesn't want to take them on.
No, and he doesn't realize that now he has.
Well, he can't have a foot in both camps. That's his problem, you know, really. And he doesn't. Incidentally, no question about his loyalty. No question about his motives. Just the point that he's got this. He knows what they are. But, don't you agree?
Oh sure. No, he can't quite bring himself to realize that he is no longer their darling. They would cut him to ribbons if they had the opportunity to. And he just, you know, he can't quite separate himself from...
He's got to realize, though, that for millions of other Americans, he he is their darling. So he's got a new group.
That's right.
He's got a new constituency, and he's got to start looking at that constituency and turn away from these people.
That's hard for a Harvard professor. You know, that's Pat Moynihan, who totally agrees that we forged a new political constituency in this country. And I talked to Pat. He was congratulating us on having done it, and yet he himself, he doesn't identify with it. These people that have lived in that environment for so long find it very hard to do.
Awfully hard for them. I know. You know, they've eaten together and slept together and a lot of other things.
That's
really.
Yep.
It's just they're you know, they're not comfortable with other people.
No, they're elitists.
That's right.
And there are elitists who are practical and aren't arrogant about it. And the community, the intellectual community, is a very arrogant, very inbred group. And
sure is.
It's tough.
Well, anyway, it'll be interesting if I doubt if Retzner anything, because they won't want to jeopardize a future source. They know Henry's going to be around for a while.
They're pretty hopping mad.
You really think they are?
Yes, sir. I gather reading this briefing,
with Ziegler,
briefing, they really want to have to run on this. And it was obvious the guy who was asking the questions had in mind that he had gotten it firsthand, and by God, they didn't appreciate being told they'd made up the story.
That was the way to smoke them out, though, Chuck.
You really did. And, you know, the amazing thing, I hate to say it, I really do, but that goddamn New York Times op-ed page gets an enormous circulation.
Really?
Yes, sir. The it calls from all over the place today, from a few telegrams, you know, hit them again, and some editor of the Buffalo, one of the Buffalo papers who...
Evening News, probably, or the Courier, right?
Yeah, no, the managing editor, who was a classmate of mine in college, just a wide assortment of people. But
what did he say? Kick him again?
Oh yeah, he said, Jesus, that was a gasser. Keep it up. It's amazing that
that's right.
The impact of a little thing like that. Buchanan had the same experience, you know, when he did that.
I know. I know.
St. George or whatever it was. But it's a.
This may be as well to smoke them out then, but I don't think, even though they're hopping mad, I know these people, they're not going to jeopardize their source. They won't do it.
Yeah, they may not.
Which is all right with me. I don't want Henry to get too all stirred up before he takes off on his trip.
Now, Ziegler and I talked about it tonight. Yeah. We felt it was very important that we not...
Let him know that... Let him worry about it. I couldn't agree more.
Just not to... Not add to it, although I think Ron smelled the same thing out of... had that same feel out of it. But it's... But our loyalists, Mr. President, got it. This has just been a great thing for them. Barry Goldwater, I talked to this weekend, who sent out marvelous mailer, 20,000 pieces across the country to broadcasters and editors, all the things they said. And Barry said to me, he said, just tell the president. He said, I'll do anything. I'll lay down my life. He said, the president has fulfilled everything I've ever wanted in life. He said, so thrilled. He said, what this man has done. You know, there is that
risk. I think out here, we don't have any leaping for joy because, after all, we didn't bomb him into the Stone Age. But on the other hand, have a feeling around the country on our side, our people, that by God we stuck the course and we won.
That's right.
Our point.
That's exactly.
And
right.
I think an awful lot of our guys feel good. You know, that the fact that I wrote a letter, you know, to every one of the guys and the supporters, and not to those that didn't. That message got through, don't you think?
Marvelous. Absolutely. And that was a fine letter. You know, we did get a reaction, which it's hard for us in Washington to measure, but the SAE ran that marvelous thank you, Mr. President, ad, and all the major papers Monday. The Safeway and Giant ran all their...
Yes.
All their ads.
That was Don Kendall who worked on that.
Yeah, Don did that, and ASAE was that fellow we've worked through here in town. Damn good.
That's good, too.
Stuff gets out around the country. It's very hard to measure it. We'll tell, of course, when Harris or Sundlinger can come up with some numbers for us.
I wouldn't worry about the numbers. Because it's going to be a delayed reaction. It'll take 2-3 weeks for this sort of thing to set in.
Well, you know, as the prisoners come home, it's a continuing story.
That's right.
As the troops come out, as the units are returned, but
of course, and
news.
There'll be ceasefire violations, but I don't think most people give one damn about that.
No, I don't either.
Or do you? Do you? I mean, provided we're not in it.
Well, if it became a big continuing red-hot page one news news, Joe.
No, it isn't. It isn't going to be that big.
No, if the fighting continued just as if there hadn't been a ceasefire, which is the
one. No, well, it doesn't. These are sporadic incidents.
That's right. I mean, that's the kind of thing that has no impact.
Well, they have that in the Mideast.
That's supposed to give exactly that comparison.
That's right. The Israelis bomb the Assyrians, and the Syrians go into their tanks. And
the big story will be, I mean, as a matter of fact, the best play that we have gotten, I think the service Saturday night was a tremendous, tremendous score. The best thing has been the prisoners' wives. That's just been
pretty great, aren't they?
They're marvelous, and they haven't had one on. Not one negative.
I suppose some of the MIA wives are disturbed because they don't get reports and all that. But damn it, they had to expect that, you know.
Well, a lot of them, like Hanson, you know, she really knew her husband was dead. And
sure.
I don't think that
she knows for sure.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the fact that they haven't released the lists in Laos, that's going to
come out. It's for your information. You'd be out tomorrow or the next day.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we kicked them in the ass today.
Oh, that's great.
You see, every time they get out on the limb, well, the commies were being damn reluctant on this, so we just held something back they wanted from us. So we're going to get the damn list out. It's only 60, but we'll get them. We're going to get them.
Yeah, but that's important as hell. No, I think that story, of course, is a continuing one. When we talk about, we really need a few months to build the kind of public peace that we're in. History, and this is what we do through Timish and other writers that we can get.
I was thinking that in addition to Timish, I mean, I was thinking of a lot of other people, like take your friend Smith Hempstone. Can he write that? He's a good writer.
Oh God, he's a brilliant writer.
Take this damn thing on. I mean, he writes so well.
Well, you're giving us a column. Maybe we could get something longer, like a.
Sure. I mean, Smith Hempstone.
In-depth piece on it.
Great. Henry talked to him. Henry spent, good God, Henry, you know, he's got friends, but he spent lunch yesterday with Stuart Alsop and with Roley Evans. He had lunch with them again today. And, you know, with the same people. Now, fine, they're fine, but good God, can we spread it around a little?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's silly. Well,
he will.
Evans and Novak have certainly been. They've been as emotional as anyone who.
They're damn good.
They really have.
We've got to give them every credit, boy. I'm for it.
I really would on this one. They've come up. They've given us a great play on this. Quite a bit. The all the columnists that you would expect it from have been terrific and Timish. Piece on all the things they said and were wrong, and it's a very effective piece. He puts a good bite in when he writes.
Circulate it more too. Everything that's good, pass it around.
We're doing. We just keep the pressure on day in and day out, and I would. Over a few months, we'll have them really running. It's been interesting, Mr. President, to analyze the lines that the left had taken. They had a consistent line. They started out on this kick of, well, it's really much of a piece. A little flurry of this could have been obtained before, but that didn't take. They haven't had one point of attack, really. And of course, Mansfield is sounding the ball that I expect they're all going to get on, which
do it again.
Don't do it again. The president does deserve credit. He deserves credit. The war's over now. Let's clean up the wounds of the nation and move forward to our domestic priorities.
Clean up the slums.
Yep. That's going to be the where they'll have to come out. Because even our detractors have.
I think one thing that's a very good piece that only Buchanan could write, but of course it can't be put out under him, I mentioned to because I think you might do it, is I think a damn tough article about the shocking reaction of the White House press corps and the columnists and the media to the president's announcement. A shocking reaction that, and of the doves in the Senate and the House, you know what I mean? That instead of being really elated about it, they were. Basically, disappointed, frustrated, furious, because if we were right, they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a hell of a thing. I think somebody ought to write that.
I think that's been written. Mr. President Lasky was to do that. He being the one that I knew would.
he does it. You circulate anytime you can, Chuck. 10,000, whether it's last year.
We just take that, as we've done with Victor before, take it and mail hell out of it. He doesn't have any credibility in Washington, but out in the country, they
out in the country, they know the difference.
Now, the Youngstown Vindicator.
That's right.
And they put him right up on page one, you know, Manchester Union. We'll get that one. I'm confident it's done.
Those papers matter, too.
Damn right. Oh, well, they have a whale of an impact.
Okay. We'll have a little fun with them anyway, huh?
We'll keep it up, sir.
All right, thank you.